Well, thank you. It's good to see you. Welcome this morning. Thank you to Nigel for leading. Thank you for Tim for reading God's word. It is a familiar portion of Scripture, and within those 16 verses of that fourth chapter, we know that there are many aspects that could be considered this morning. But before we come around the Lord's table, in a slightly shorter word this morning leading up to that point, I want us to consider really one aspect, and that is to do with the actual offerings. We often speak about the murder, the first murder in Scripture of Cain attacking his brother. But I want us to actually consider more so the offerings that these men brought to the Lord. I think it's quite interesting that in this particular chapter, even from the beginning, verses 1 and 2, we see the gift of life. Because we have to realize that here Adam and Eve have come out of the garden where, of course, they had sinned. There had been, as we call it, the fall. And so the situation of the tree represents the garden. So one side, inside you had the fall, and within that you have the curses of God that would be, that God foretold. But the wonderful thing in this chapter is outside we see the goodness of God, and we see the gift of life in the shadow of those curses, in the shadow of that sin and rebellion of Adam and Eve. And we see that children are born to this couple, the goodness of God displayed. And I think we also see the appropriate and believing acknowledgement of God's goodness and providence by what Eve says. You see in that first verse, and she said, "I have acquired a man." Or maybe you have in your Bible, "I have got a male child from the Lord." Now, the interesting thing with that phrase is that if we look at the names of her children, these first two children anyway, Cain and Abel. Cain in Hebrew, it's very similar to the Hebrew word kana, Q-A-N-A. And that actually means to acquire, to get. And how she has said in this first verse, "I have acquired a man-child." It's almost a play on words, isn't it? She recognized the help, and she had acquired this with the help of the Lord. And so she called his name Cain. Acquired. Abel, well, Abel's name is Habel in Hebrew. Well, that's how it's phonetically, that's how it's spelled anyway. But that has a number of meanings. It can be fleeting, it can mean mere breath. And it's brevity. It's interesting, isn't it, that often hints to the shortness of Abel's life, a righteous man that was snuffed out in undue time. We read about the occupations of Cain and Abel. We see that Cain was a tiller of the ground, just like his father. He was the firstborn. He followed his father's footsteps. He was a tiller of the ground. And Abel was a shepherd, the one who pastured animals. And so we see these occupations. The one problem with the story of Cain and Abel is that there are so many interjections, there are so many theories that are invariably man-made. Because actually in these 16 verses, we're not really told a lot of reason as to why God accepted or respected, depending on your translation, Abel's offering and rejected or did not respect Cain's. We're not told a lot of detail about this at all. But what we are told is something about their worship. Now we have to realize that at this time, if they were coming to worship and to offer, it was probably the family that was coming as well. Now you have to realize there was no nation at this point. No nation. There was no priesthood. There was no sacrificial system in place at this time. Many theories have gone forward and said, well, the reason one was rejected and one was accepted was due to the fact that one was from the soil, with fruits from the soil, whereas one was a blood sacrifice. Well, the sacrificial system hadn't been put in place yet. Yes, obviously there was a difference in the objects that were brought. But I don't actually believe that that was the reasoning for the acceptance and rejection. And the fact there was no priesthood, therefore, Adam, who had prime responsibility for the family, would have acted as the priest in this situation, just as Abraham did years later. He acted as priest on behalf of his family. And the principle of family, as it were, religion, is never lost in scriptures, in scripture. It continues to be a core component of how we are to live as believers, even though, obviously, we know that the Lord has drawn us together as a church. But at any rate, Cain and Abel come together and they bring their offerings. So what was the reason? Where can we find? Well, I think there are two hints in this text that possibly suggest the acceptance and the rejection. If you look at verse 3, it says of Cain's offering, he brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And that's all it says. And of Abel's offering, just two more points are included in the detail. Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. Now, there seems here to be a hint that there was a costliness in Abel's sacrifice and his offering, which is spoken, which speaks really of his own faith in the Lord. Do remember, these two men, Cain and Abel, knew God. They spoke with God audibly. God spoke to Cain, "Where is your brother? What have you done?" So this was a very special relationship this family had with God. And yet, Abel's offering of faith was costly. In comparison, it would appear, with Cain. And it was more Cain's response that was the problem as well, because we see he was downcast, he was angry. His sacrifice, his offering, hadn't been accepted. But Abel's sacrifice was of great proportion. He gave the first of the flock. The mention about fat is because fat was regarded as the prime part of the lamb. The fat portions were regarded as the best part. So we see that Abel brought of his best Cain brought of substance from the ground, but his reaction was one of arrogance and anger. But that's all we are told in the Old Testament. However, the New Testament gives us a little bit of help as well. And there are two passages, and they'll come up on the screen behind me, so you don't need to turn to them. One we know very well in Hebrews 11, that chapter of faith, which we read in verse 4. And the author tells us that the faith of Abel was decisive in the Lord's receiving of his offering, his sacrifice. It says this: by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And so it is intimated here that that Abel came to the Lord in faith where Cain did not. And if you look at 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 11 and 12, we'll read verse 11 first. There is a link. It says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another." So John's point in this first verse, or the 11th verse, but the first one that I've quoted, is to drive home the command of the Lord Jesus Christ to love one another. And he goes on in the next verse and he says, "Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brother's were righteous." So we are told that Abel came in faith offering this sacrifice, that Abel was a righteous man, and that Cain's heart was not with the Lord. How is your heart this morning? How is your offering that you are bringing this morning of worship? We can bring an offering. We can sing the same songs. But how is your heart before your God? The whole concept of first fruits, firstborn, it's an important concept. Deuteronomy 12 says, "Bring your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Bring them to the Lord." And it then says in chapter 18, "You are to give the first fruits of your grain, new wine and oil, and the first wool from the shearings of your sheep." It's a biblical principle. The first portion belongs to God. Well, actually, the whole portion belongs to God, but presenting the first portion is a way of acknowledging God's ownership. In Exodus 23 and verse 19, it says this: "Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God." Why the best? Because what you bring to God reflects what you think of God. God deserves our very best. Your sacrifice of praise this morning, your sacrifice of worship, your offering of worship, your offering of finance, your offering of thanksgiving. How prepared is your heart this morning as we come around this table and we consider the first fruits of our offering to our God? Particularly as we come around the table when we consider God himself gave of his very best. in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who had offered up his life for us. Are we prepared this morning, like Abel, to come in faith and offer up our lives to be used and useful to the Lord in this place? I pray that as we come together around this table, we will know the Holy Spirit moving upon us, prompting us, touching us, perfecting our hearts, maybe correcting our hearts as we come with our offering to our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, this morning. We're going to sing just before we come around the table, "I will offer up my life in spirit and truth." Let's stand together and let's sing that portion. Thank you.